Good afternoon. Welcome Abner Hoag, the interim city manager. Be doing a candidate question and answer session. I'll turn this over to Mr. Young.
Thank you, Mayor. Abner, thank you for joining us. I want to give you a quick overview of our process today. We have 90 minutes for your interview. We have 19 questions that have been scripted for you. We do not need to take the full 90 minutes, but we cannot exceed 90 minutes. Council will have the opportunity to ask follow-up questions after each of your answers. You will need to manage your time, and I will provide time checks throughout the process. I may limit council questions if we're running short on time and have them save them to the end of the interview if there is additional time remaining. You will have time to ask questions at the end of this process. And I think we are ready to go. The first question is a two-part question, and we have allocated some extra time for you to answer that question. So, with that said, let's begin. Abner, please tell us about yourself and your background and what interests you about living and working in a remote Aleutian Island community such as Unalaska.
Thanks, Tom. I just want to make sure that you can hear me okay real quick before I roll into my answer. Okay, I see the thumbs up. Thank you. Well, first of all, good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you for taking the time to let me speak to you tonight. As far as myself and my background, I know a lot of you have heard about me already. We've had some of this discussion, but just to recap, I've spent over 30 years in public service, starting with the military, 20 years, and then the last decade I've been in senior municipal leadership roles, including serving as fire chief at Ketchikan as well as Unalaska. And now your interim city manager. Most of my career has been in, my career in Alaska at least has been in remote environments, where we have similar weather to Unalaska or Unalaska weather. I have over 20 years actually serving in Alaska communities, and I'm familiar with the remote community lifestyle. You haven't scared me off yet in the 4 months that I've been back here currently. And, and I'm not just interested, I'm already here and I'm committed to the organization.
Thank you, Abner. Council, do you have any questions?
Any questions for Abner? Questions, Councilman Chastain?
Yeah, thank you. This was, I'm going to steal this from Councilman Longo. how long do you plan on staying out in Alaska if selected?
Well, probably as long as you'll keep me. I have probably 7 or 8 years worth of time left at present before I would like to really retire again and give that another shot. So I have some time to serve and support the community.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so Abner. Oops, sorry.
So specifically, though, what interests you about living out here, living and work out here?
Well, thank you, Councilmember Coleman. I lived out here, as you know, for 2.5 years previously, and I really enjoyed my time out here. I enjoy the community. The people are great out here. Yes, there's challenges with things like travel and the expense of groceries and things like that, but the people and the community really make up for that in my mind. I've really enjoyed working with all the different departments and the challenges and successes that has brought in this short time so far, and I look forward to continuing to provide that kind of stability and coordination within the city.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? No further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Abner, please describe your understanding of the council manager form of government, and more importantly, the appropriate relationship between the city manager, mayor, and council members.
Briefly, the council manager form of government, the idea is that the council sets the policy, they adopt a budget, and they represent the community members, their values and their priorities. The manager is the administrator who takes that priority and those policy directions and is responsible for implementing that in the day-to-day operations, all of those operational decisions that need to happen in order to provide the services that the community expects and that the council has set in policy. The mayor specifically presides over the council and presides over the meeting, serves as a public face of the city, and coordinates obviously with the manager pretty regularly. The appropriate relationship is really built on understanding the clarity of those roles and the respect for those roles. As the city manager, I should provide neutral and factual information, timely information to the mayor and to the council so that they can make the decisions that they need or want to make. And then whatever it is that they decide, it's my job to make sure that that happens.
Thank you. Council, do you have any follow-up questions?
Any follow-up questions for Abner? No further questions at this time.
Abner, can you tell us about a time when elected officials wanted something that you believed was operationally risky, financially unsound, or inconsistent with policy? How did you handle it?
I saw that question when the few minutes came out to think about that. And I didn't come up with a good example of a time when I've actually had a problem with a council member who was pushing for that kind of a decision. I have had situations in my past where council members maybe weren't thinking the way that I was about a program or a process that needed to happen. And I think whether, you know, it's that or whether I think that their decision is unsound, I think it still comes back to the same answer. And that is that I need to ensure that they understand the reasoning behind why it might be unsound, to provide facts and remain grounded in situational awareness, help them understand the complete picture and ground that discussion in policy code, talk about risks if there's risks involved, and just kind of lead from the back, if you will, because I wouldn't want to directly contradict a council member in public, but I would help to provide them the information so that they can make an informed decision.
Council, any follow-up questions?
Any follow-up questions for Abner on this issue? No further questions at this time.
Abner, as you know, this position has 11 direct reports overseeing highly technical departments. Please describe your leadership style and how you manage a diverse executive team.
I'd say my leadership style is steady, disciplined, system-oriented, and collaborative. I don't have to be the technical expert in every department. That is what we have those experts as 11 directors or department heads for. They are the experts in their field. But I do want clarity from them. I want accountability, and I want them to align with city policy and council direction. I focus on setting expectations, communicating with them, and then supporting them with the tools and resources that they need in order to accomplish their job. That means, and what I do, I have regular one-on-one check-ins with staff throughout the week. I have weekly team meetings, leadership meetings with the staff, and I try to share information. I believe that sharing information is power, but more so shared information is power. I don't want to hold everything to myself and have the staff unaware of what the priorities are or what council's looking for, where we need to be going. Everyone should have that same picture, and then that way we can work in the same direction together.
Thank you, Abner. Any follow-up questions from the council?
Do we have any questions, council members? No further questions at this time.
Abner, what experience do you have managing labor relations employee morale, recruitment and retention in a difficult labor market?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a fair amount of experience with unions. Prior to my time in municipal government, I didn't have much experience with unions, but in the past 10 or 11 years, I've had quite a bit. The IAFF is a very active union, and I've been, as you know, fire chief for over 10 years. Seven of those, the Ketchikan Fire Department was IAFF union, so a lot of dealings with them. And then here in this interim time, I've successfully negotiated so far with two unions. The IAFF took us a week, and we just had a negotiation with IBUP, which you'll see on the next council agenda, and we successfully negotiated with them and TA'd their contract in 2 days. I've spent a lot of time in Alaska working for communities that have recruitment challenges, on Alaska being one of them. My goal in recruitment is to just be clear and fair and communicate with candidates to make sure that we've given them the information they need, and to try to just be clear about what the expectations are and what the challenges are, so that once we get someone, they don't get surprised and decide that they want to leave again.
Thank you, Abner. Council, do you have any follow-up questions on this one?
Do you have any questions at this time? No further questions at this time. Thanks.
Abner, remote communities in Alaska face unique challenges involving logistics, weather, workforce recruitment, transportation costs, and supply chain disruptions. What experience do you have managing in a similar environment?
I need to pull up that question and read it real quick. Hold on sure. 1 second. Or if you could read it one more time, I'll pull it up too.
Sure. Remote communities in Alaska face unique challenges involving logistics, weather, workforce recruitment, transportation costs, and supply chain disruptions. What experience do you have managing in similar environments?
Okay, sorry about that. So remote communities do face a lot of challenges, and I'm very familiar with that. Again, previous time served here in Alaska and Ketchikan as well. We often see delays in equipment and supplies. We see challenges with our airfare. We see supply chain disruptions, and we have to deal with that consistent way. We have to assess the situation, determine what the challenge is, and then look for ways that we might be able to help improve that situation. And it's similar to the air service reliability conversation that we've been having since I came out here, and the way that we kind of approach that in order to try to improve the situation. As you know, we took a step back. We looked at evaluating what the entire situation is, and then we cast a broad net in ways that we might approach that in order to try to help improve the situation. Ways that are realistic and can be accomplished rather than just shooting from the hip. And I think we have a good path forward on that, and that's the way that we would approach other similar types of challenges as well.
Thank you. Any follow-up questions from the council?
No questions at this time. Thank you.
So question 7. Living and working in a small community often means high visibility and close community relationships. How would you navigate that environment professionally?
Yeah, it can be hard when the community you live in and serve in, you see people that work for you at the grocery store, when you're just out and about shopping, when you go out to a restaurant. The key is to be approachable and consistent. Talk to people, treat people as people, right? I want them to be comfortable talking to me, and I want them to know that I'm not going to feed them a line of garbage. I'm going to be honest with them and clear about any expectations. At the same time, it's important to not bypass regular processes just because of a personal relationship. And that can be really hard in a small community because there's not a lot of people to choose from, right? You're going to have friends that are work with you and for you potentially. You're going to have neighbors that work with you and for you. And so just remaining professional and setting clear work boundaries when that's appropriate, and then keeping kind of compartmentalizing, I guess, to some degree, in order to have a good professional life and a good personal life at the same time. But when it comes down to it, be respectful and honest in all those situations, and that'll go a long ways.
Thank you, Abner. Does the council have any follow-up questions?
Councilman Coleman?
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I mean, obviously you, in a smaller community, you're just, everybody sees you all the time, whether it's work or you're at an event or at the grocery store. How do you deal with, public perception of you, on an everyday, all the time, 24-hour basis? And like, what is your,
I think the answer to that is that I'm the same person in public and in private. What you see is what you get. I'm honest about things. I'm upfront about things, and I'm going to tell you the way that it is. As far as, do I have a hard time dealing with that being in the public eye all the time, which I'm not sure if that's part of your question or not, but I don't let that bother me. I don't let it get to me. I have a job to do, and there are going to be people that maybe don't like me or don't agree with the way I approach a situation. And I'm always happy to talk to somebody and explain my reasoning behind something, even if they don't agree with me. And my mind can be changed. So I think I'm pretty good at being open and communicating with people and respectful, and I think that gets me where I need to be.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Councilman Coleman. Any further questions? No questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Abner, tell us about a major capital project you managed or oversaw. What challenges arose, and what was the outcome?
As far as a specific major capital project that I've had to manage personally, I haven't had a lot of capital projects per se, you know, like building a new water treatment plant or something like that, if that's what you're looking for. But I have spent many years developing somewhat complex budgets for the fire service. One of the most complex ones that you have to deal with on a regular basis, and I'm sure the council members here have heard it before, has to do with equipment and apparatus replacement plans. You have a lot of specialized equipment in the fire service that has to be in top working condition, and when you need it, you need it, right? So having a plan for how to replace that and when to replace that and assessing all of the different factors that might impact whether or not you replace equipment like that is quite the challenge to do while remaining fiscally responsible at the same time, because none of it is cheap equipment. So I've developed a couple different equipment replacement plans in my career. And I take an approach where I look at all the circumstances and the information that's out there, the best practices, and then I adjust that based on the needs of the community as well. The needs of Unalaska to replace a fire truck every 10 years and an ambulance every 5 years is probably not realistic. And you have to balance that with the amount of use that it gets, for example, and the mileage and all of those things. So I think that the important thing in managing the projects is to make sure that you're keeping an eye on the needs and priorities, but also communicating what those needs and priorities are and keeping things moving forward and having an organized approach to it.
Thank you, Abner. Does the council have any follow-up questions?
No further questions at this time.
So, Abner, Unalaska operates electric, water, wastewater, and solid waste utilities. Describe your experience overseeing public utilities or complex infrastructure projects or systems, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we have all of those, and I've had the privilege of working with the public utilities director during this interim period, and that is really the limit of my experience in working with public utilities, but it is part of our broader organization. We worked through, in my time here, budgeting. We've talked about some of the capital needs and planning and projects and where those stand. We've had many discussions actually over different regulatory compliance issues. I'm not a utilities manager, but I do understand the importance of asset management, and I understand the rate structures need to support the utility operation and the importance of long-range planning to stay ahead of critical infrastructure so we don't get to a point where we have huge expenses coming up unexpectedly. And I work closely with the utility department to make sure they have direction and adequate resources and integrate those needs into our overall capital plan and budget.
Thank you. Would the council like to ask any follow-up questions?
No further questions at this time.
Unalaska provides police, dispatch, jail, fire, EMS, and DMV services. What experience do you have overseeing public safety operations?
I've been in public safety most of my career, as I've talked about a couple times. I served as a fire chief in two Alaska communities. I had over 20 years in the Air Force, and all of that time was in emergency services, fire and EMS. I have worked in dispatch centers and supervised dispatch centers. I work closely with the police department or the police division when I was here previously, and the corrections folks. And I really kind of understand their operational and cultural and the dynamics of a public safety agencies. They're critical to our community. And since I've been here, I've worked to oversee that whole spectrum of public safety. We've hired a fire chief during my time here and started to make some good progress on that front with some new initiatives over there. We've worked through some issues with our DMV and staffing challenges. We're very close to bringing forward a new position that's going to help smooth that out should we have a vacancy in the future for extended vacation or medical leave and that sort of thing. So a lot of experience with public safety operations, I guess, is the answer.
Thank you, Abner. And Council, do you have any follow-up questions?
Councilman Shastin, question?
Thank you. Yeah, looking at your resume, Mr. Hogue, it looks like in between Ketchikan and your return to Unalaska, you did some contract work. It looks like it might have been public safety related. Can you elaborate on that?
I did. I spent about 5 years. Well, once I left Ketchikan, I thought I was going to retire, by the way, and just travel. And it took me about 3 months to realize that I needed to do something productive, and I wasn't quite ready for true retirement. So I did get into public safety and emergency management consulting. And through that 5 years, worked with a lot of different Alaska communities doing a ton of emergency operations planning, doing continuity of operations planning, doing trainings and exercises to prepare communities for emergency response.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? No further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Just in terms of a time check, we are halfway through our questions. We're doing great on time. So thank you, everyone. We're moving on to question 11. Abner, what is your philosophy regarding the relationship between public safety departments and the community they serve?
I think that public safety agencies, public safety departments are here to serve the community. not the other way around. We need to be professional. We need to be accountable. We need to be out and visible in ways that build trust. Enforcement is part of the job, and that's not always going to be popular, but so are things like education and prevention and just being out and about and visible in the community. It starts to build that trust and that relationship so that in a crisis moment, you're not new to the people that you're serving. Public safety needs to be firm and fair and respectful, and complaints need to be taken seriously and addressed. As city manager, my role is to ensure that those leaders in public safety have the support and expectations that they need in order to maintain those relationships in that healthy way.
Follow-up questions from the council.
Councilman Shasti.
There we go. Can you hear me, Mr. Hogue?
Yes.
Excellent. I'm going to ask this question in a very similar manner that I've asked it earlier today, even though I recognize you have quite a bit of background locally. Recently, the police department transitioned away from the Department of Public Safety, the name Department of Public Safety, into a police department. What is your view on cross-training police officers as EMTs?
Cross-training police officers as EMTs in a small community like in Alaska can be hugely beneficial. And even in larger communities, you often have police responders, police out in the community on a day-to-day basis. They're closest oftentimes to the scene of an emergency. And so having them trained and available to assist on a medical type of incident can make the difference between life and death, honestly. So I very much support that cross-training, and as long as it doesn't take away from their duties and the training that they need to do in order to maintain that law enforcement presence as well. So there's a balancing act there.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? No further questions at this time.
Abner, describe your experience managing municipal budgets, particularly in communities with fluctuating or industry-dependent revenues.
Well, I've gotten a lesson in that as we've worked through this year's budget here. And obviously, we're very industry-dependent on our revenue, with a majority, I would say, of our revenue coming from either directly from the fishing industry or the fishery adjacent revenues, right? Fuel and the taxes from the fuel, for example, and our ports fees, et cetera. So we've seen that those incomes, those revenues can fluctuate greatly, and we try to account for that in our, or we should try to account for that in our budgeting process. And Alaska has done very well over the years and has a decent budget reserve set aside in that fund. And we need to, our tax revenue, on the other hand, has stayed flat. And so as we've talked about during this year's budget process, we really need to make sure going forward that we start to keep a tighter control maybe on some of those expenditures to make sure that we can continue to maintain that cushion in our general fund, for example, in order to absorb the fluctuating years.
Okay. Follow-up questions from the council.
Do you have any questions, or Councilman Coleman?
Aside from this past fiscal year budget that you did here, do you have any other experience with managing budgets?
I've managed my department budgets for years, and I've always sat through the budget process, but in the sense of being the person responsible for those decisions and presenting them directly to the council, no.
Okay, thank you. Let you add another one. No further questions?
Thank you.
This time.
Question 13. What experience do you have managing proprietary funds, utility finances, or major grant administration?
Oh, as we've talked about a couple times, the utility finances is a part of my current role, and capital projects within my department in the past that I've managed. On the grant side, I've applied for, received, and administered a lot of different federal grants over the years for different fire equipment, training needs, those sorts of things. And then again, the experience in this past 4 months with developing the city budget and working through that process.
Thank you, Abner. Are there any follow-up questions from the council?
Any further questions? No further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. Abner, how do you build trust and credibility in a community where residents, businesses, and elected officials may have competing interests?
I think building trust and credibility, no matter what the situation, comes from consistency and transparency, willingness to listen and hear what people are talking about, hear what their concerns are, hear what's going well. And all of our different stakeholders within the community, from the residents to industry to tribal partners, all have interests that don't always align. So my job is to kind of try to hear all of those things and then to deconflict them as much as possible and make sure that we're making our decisions based on policy, data, and really the long-term interest of the community as a whole.
Council, do you have any follow-up questions?
Councilman Shasteen?
There we go. I'm online. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hogue. I'm online right now. I'm good. I'm just going both my. Thank you. Since COVID, one of the things I've noticed with the city and the way the city operates is there seems to be a fair amount of siloing that's going on, where decisions are made in what appears to be a silo without outside input from the community, without outside input from industry. And then they're brought to council. Council passes it, and it's essentially kind of sprung on the community. What would you do as city manager, or what have you done in the last 4 months to really address issues such as siloing?
So to start to address, I think, the concern that you're asking about, I've been out in the community talking and working with our partners. I've talked with industry. I've talked with the clinic. I've been out engaged with our trilateral partners, and really just being available and present to talk with those different organizations, being out at community events where possible, looking for opportunities to engage with people in places other than in the council chambers. Because as we all know, only a few of you are brave enough to step in there on a regular basis and do the work that the community needs. And I appreciate that work. But if we just do all of our conversations in council chambers, you're right, the community is going to be surprised. So looking for those different organizations and events to get out to and speak with people and engage with the community is how we can start to break down some of those silos and gather that input from the community.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions? No questions at this time.
Abner, can you describe a time you addressed significant public criticism or controversy in one of your roles?
One of the most challenging public criticism that I had to face was during COVID response. I was the emergency manager in Ketchikan, served as the incident commander. We had a 20-25 person EOC. And of course, just like everywhere, there was a lot of stress. Information was changing all the time. people's livelihoods and health and their sense of security were impacted. And I was that public face of the response. I was the one giving those difficult messages to the community and explaining recommendations on restrictions or how you might approach things or asking businesses to change their operations. And those weren't always popular. So I made sure that our communication was transparent. I always tried to provide the community updates on a regular basis, provide data as much as possible, and make sure that we were following the latest guidance. I didn't dismiss concerns when they were brought to me, even if the people were upset or speaking emotionally. I tried to explain the why behind the decisions we were making and the things that we knew, or at least thought we knew at the time, and how we were trying to use that to protect the community. I tried to keep the staff focused on the mission, mitigation and preparedness and recovery. I worked closely with the elected officials. I met with them on a regular basis. The hospital and our school districts had regular meetings with them as well to make sure information was being shared and just to try to keep people informed on what was happening. People appreciate that consistency and the honesty and the willingness to stand there in front of them and answer those hard questions. And it worked out pretty well in the end. Ketchikan was actually one of the more effective in the state, I think. The community came through pretty well, and we managed it through that just that steady, transparent, and accountable way, even when we had the criticism there.
Thank you, Abner. Council, would you like to ask any follow-up questions?
Any questions, sir? No further questions on this at this time.
Question 16. How would you approach relationships with regional, state, tribal, and federal partners?
I think that relationships with all of our different partners, whether they be local, regional, state, tribal, federal, whatever, they're essential. They're not optional. We have to engage with those folks either on whatever level they're on. In some way, they're going to affect our organization. And a lot of things we can't address just on our own as the city. So we need to be proactive. We need to be consistent in engaging with them. And we need to be reliable and uphold our side of the relationship as well. And I've done that in my time here so far. I've engaged with the Q Tribe through and helped bring to bear a new master service agreement that had been stalled, which helped us move a project forward with some grant funding on culvert replacement. We've been working together on reallocating some of their protect funding to help with our roads study. I supported IFHS in connecting with the Department of Health and in their pursuit of some rural federal funding for health resources. Done a lot of work with OC and communication on regional priorities and a logistics support hub concept that they have. And we're staying engaged with our state and federal partners. We've done a lot of that over the last 4 months. So, my goal would be just to be a serious, prepared, constructive partner for those different organizations.
Great. Council, would you like to ask any follow-up questions?
Any questions on this subject? Councilman Shostein?
Just a real quick follow-up. At the recent city council meeting, you presented on the directive we gave you on January 13th related to air travel. How do you think your outreach to the different regional, state, federal partners, so on and so on, tribal, impacted that?
I don't think we'd be anywhere close to where I think we are today if we had not engaged with those partners. From the regional alignment that we have with everyone sending the same message forward, to engagement with the state DOT to get them in support of even looking at, for example, a runway extension that, as we heard during the council meeting earlier this week, they completely said no to that before without question, just a flat out no, that's not going to happen. And now we have what appears to be support for that. So I think that it's critical, I guess, is the answer.
Thank you. Further questions? No further questions at this time.
Thank you, Mayor. So, Abner, what would your priorities be during your first 6 months if you were named to be the permanent city manager?
We've started a lot of work in the past 4 months, and I think my priorities in the first 6 months would be continuing to improve continuity and the work that we have underway. I wouldn't be starting over. We'd be solidifying our internal systems, budget, reporting, policy alignment, so that they're repeatable and durable, not personality dependent. We'll continue to work on the air service reliability and moving that forward, advancing some key infrastructure projects like the Protect Grant reallocation and some of the studies that we're looking at doing there, and continuing to maintain and grow the relationships that we've already started to build with the tribe, with OC, with the regional, state, federal partners, so the things we've already started can grow and continue to improve.
Thank you. Council, do you have any follow-up questions?
Any questions or follow-up questions? None? No further question at this time?
Abner, describe a strategic initiative you led from concept through implementation.
I'll go back to the air service reliability directive that I received from council, the meeting that they appointed me as the interim city manager. It started when it was sort of a time of crisis for the community. There were low expectations that we could even accomplish anything, and the concept was simple: to improve reliability. The problem, however, was much more complex. Started by defining the problem in operational terms and talking to the different stakeholders, gathering data, and trying to understand really what we could influence and what we couldn't. And then from there, we built a framework trying to improve reliability, affordability, resilience, engaged with the airlines, the state DOT, our federal partners, and put together a set of actions that we can really take action on and move forward that have a chance. The recent council briefing talked about some of the implementation. We have a clear plan. We have a shared understanding, and we're actually moving things forward. Obviously, this isn't finished yet, and it still has a very long way to go, but it has moved from just being a frustration and something that we think we need to fix to we actually have some momentum and a way forward now.
Thank you. Council, would you like to ask any follow-up questions?
No further questions at this time.
So, Abner, this is going to be our last scripted question. This is a scenario-based question. A major storm disrupts marine deliveries, fuel shipments are delayed, and residents are concerned about supply shortages. Walk us through your first 48 hours as city manager in this situation.
So the first 48 hours of this situation, like incidents that I've dealt with my entire career, you have to assess, stabilize, communicate, and coordinate. In the first few hours, we'd get the emergency operations center stood up, make sure it's activated at the appropriate level. We'd confirm, start to assess the situation. What's the status of fuel, food, those critical supplies? Try to get information from the port, from the fuel suppliers, from the grocery store, and see where we actually are. What is the situation? And then we can develop a situation report with what we have on hand, what's coming, and what's delayed, so that we have realistic timelines. Then we start to work with our key partners. We reach out to the state agencies, the shippers, our employers, to try to understand any options we have, and how we might start to address that. In the meantime, we'd also work with staff to provide a clear factual update to the community. We want to keep the community informed in any incident, because if people don't know what's going on, they'll make up the answer in their own mind, and that's never a good thing. But they need to know what we're doing, what they can expect, if they need to take conservation measures, and then we'll communicate that information to them. Keep the council informed. Council is going to get lots of questions from members of the community. You're the face of the city. And you need to be able to have information when people come to you and are asking questions so that you don't have to speculate and you can provide them information about what we're doing to protect those services and restore those supply lines, et cetera.
Thank you, Abner. Council, do you have any follow-up questions?
Any questions from council? No further questions at this time.
Okay. Well, Abner, you've made it through the scripted questions, and now it's your turn to ask the council any questions that you might have.
As the council is thinking about the next 12 to 18 months, what outcomes are most important in your mind for the city manager to help you achieve?
Have an answer, question. Councilman Shostein.
Thank you, that's a great question. For me, and it builds on the siloing question that I asked earlier, one thing that I'd like to see in the next 12 to 18 months is more community involvement and specifically more industry involvement in how the city can facilitate the needs of industry and so on, and working closely with industry, which in turn improves our economic stance and improves our work with the community as well. I think that's one thing that I would like to see in the next year and a half or so.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Shostein. Any further questions? Answers, I mean, since he asked the question. Councilman Luby.
I can't hear anything if council member Luby's speaking.
I am now. No, they went green. The mics keep going green on us. You're not hearing us. Anyway, sorry about that. One of the things that I would like to see is looking at the budget more closely. As you know, we ended up with a deficit this year and had to use some of our savings to cover that deficit. And, you know, so one of the things I would like to see is to be able to, you know, bring that in so that we aren't spending more than we're receiving budget-wise. Seems like at the end of the year it doesn't really happen, and we end up with a surplus. So don't know how that's going to be this next year, especially with the new sustainable fund. It may change, but anyway, budgets are a concern for me, and also getting the cost down for the community members. That's a big thing, just like air service. And I don't know if anybody's been paying attention to Facebook lately, but there's a big thing out there about the airfare service. And, you know, KUCB put out an article, and a lot of people are replying to that. So there's been a lot of public comment about it and the cost of living here in Alaska. So as a budgetary thing, one of the things we need to try to do is, you know, get down some of our costs that we, if we can, to the community members. And I think that is going to take looking at city services and, you know, are we running our services efficiently? Is there any waste that we can get rid of? And, you know, we just need to really take a deep dive to that. So that's one thing that I would like to see in the next, you know, 12 to 18 months, is to take a good hard look at that.
All right, thank you, Councilman Luby. Any questions, Councilman Coleman?
Thank you. I think may not be answering your question directly, but I would like to have somebody as a city manager who can provide more of a cohesive, comprehensive approach to the activities or the direction of the city. And I know that a big part of, you know, the council is the strategies and big overview, but as far as a city manager, not just spitfiring, oh, we want to do this, we want to do that, but how does that work together? How do all those projects and all those plans and all those activities work together to build a better future for the city? I want to see somebody who can bring that little higher level of thinking, not just regurgitating what the directors want, but to say, how do these puzzle pieces fit together? And that's kind of where I'd like to see, you know, a city manager at a comprehensive level be able to produce.
Okay. Councilman Chastain, question?
Yeah, thank you. Councilperson Coleman actually just hit the nail on the head as hard as it could be hit. I think a systems approach to city management is something that we haven't seen in quite some time. And prior to recently, from what I've seen, is the directors will shotgun things out to council. Council will approve it or won't approve it. And there doesn't seem to be a really comprehensive plan to move forward with. And I wholeheartedly agree with Councilman Coleman and Luby as well in what she mentioned, that really I think what this community needs is somebody to bring everybody together and really push that vision forward.
Okay. I guess speaking of the shotgun plan in the budget, I heard recently from several employees that have been disturbed by news of putting cameras in city vehicles, roads, equipment, dump trucks, and not only forward, but in the cab. This, you know, what kind of study has been done on that regarding safety for not only the public, but the driver? I recently talked to you about issues similar to that, morale issue, and wondering how you would handle this. How will you handle it?
Was that a question for me, Mayor? How I would address morale issues and handle cameras in city vehicles? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's apparently we passed the budget with the intention of putting cameras in vehicles, whether it's an animal catcher with a camera or loaders, backhoes, dump trucks, those kinds of equipment. What kind of work has been done regarding that safety issue and the morale?
As far cameras in city equipment and monitoring devices in municipal equipment actually have a big impact on reducing accidents and improving safety. There's been a lot of studies done out there about how that can improve those things and then help to provide training for folks if there is some sort of issue going on that's causing less safe things to occur. I don't know anything of cameras in facing inward in the cab of the vehicles. I have heard of some desire to monitor some of our equipment for fuel efficiency and to kind of understand what we're doing with that equipment. But they do have a positive impact on municipal operations in general, and studies have shown that.
Okay, yeah. Well, that's just a question for you to look into if you continue.
Sure.
As a Councilman Bell?
Yeah, wasn't sure on this question, and now it's been addressed a couple times as far as morale. And let me back up and address your question, Mr. Hogue, about what you or what we expect to see in the next, you know, 18 months or whatever it is, with a question back to you. And I'm going to refer back to question 5, and I'll reread it here. What experience do you have managing labor relations, employee morale, recruitment, and retention? The employee morale is really where the focus of my question is here. And I guess I'd asked you, what does employee morale look like, whether it's positive or negative, so that you can identify it and make changes appropriately?
I think, you know, the morale can look different from person to person, but in general, to enhance employee morale, folks like to know and have that kind of big picture that several of you have talked about. They want to know where the organization is going, what the plan is, how we're going to get there, and then they want the tools to be able to go do that work that they need to do to get there. They need to feel that they're being heard and listened to when they bring up concerns or questions or ways of doing things. And over the past 4 months, we've been working really to more stabilize the organization, and we haven't been doing a lot of forward issues other than addressing immediate needs. And that's by intention during this interim period. It doesn't make sense to start huge new initiatives that I may or may not be able to carry out. So going forward, we would definitely need to start doing some more of that and engaging with the employees and sort of in the same way that we engage with the community to get their input and buy-in into programs that we might be implementing.
Thank you.
Would you consider more training? You mentioned training. Maybe that's something that maybe information goes a long way, but so does training and safety and why doing their job.
Absolutely. Training is super important.
Turnover over an issue that could be resolved by just talking about it instead of just putting down your fist on the table and say, you will do this and you will do that, and no explanation. That's what morale starts going down. So I just throw it out there. Any further questions? Thanks, Abner. Appreciate your comments and appreciate your work you've done so far. We'll go into deliberations here shortly, and then I'll ask Tom to finish up the interview. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make sure, did you have any other question to ask of the council?
I think I'm good on questions, Tom. Thank you.
Okay. So, Abner, thank you so much for your flexibility in interviewing on a weekend, and then your flexibility in kind of moving your interview time up just for your candid answers and thoughtfulness. We appreciate that. Council has conducted and completed all of their interviews today. They're going to go into executive session and kind of talk about what their next steps look like. Early next week sometime, I'll be reaching out to you to follow up with what that might be, what if any decisions have been made. So I will be in touch, but of course, feel free to reach out at any point if you have any questions for me. So thank you so much. Please go have a pleasant evening, and the council will get to their work.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Council.
Thank you, Abner.